The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
Guys, welcome back to Flourish and Fulfilled. Firstly, I just want to say a massive thank you for all of your feedback, reviews, and DMs wanting the podcast to go ahead. There's been so many people being like, when is the next app launching? What are you guys doing? And I'm back. I promise I'm back. It's just been a bit of a mission start to 2022. That's what we're in. Far out. It feels like the last 2 or 3 years is just kind of like blurred into one. But I love the fact that you guys wanted the podcast back so much. Now, today's episode is actually brought to you by my own mindset brand, which is Flourish and Fulfilled. And we have just launched our brand new app in both Apple and the Google Play Store. It is 30 days entirely free. You can cancel at any time and you'll get so much goodness out of that app. I promise you it will be worthwhile. There's like breathwork recordings, meditations, free journaling and like affirmations. There's heaps. I also wanted to give you guys a sneaky little 25% off discount for our Find Your Purpose course. Now, it has started, but it is 6 modules and you do get lifetime access with myself. The code for that is FYP25. Now let's get started on today's episode. So for today's episode, I have brought in one of my oldest and best friends, Liv. She has previously been on the podcast, but I thought that today, rather than us having a super profesh chat, we would just have a little besties chat about all the things that we have been going through in the last couple of months to a year, to our whole lives, to anything that we kind of like tend to go on a trail with today. So there's a few different topics that I do want to kickstart with. But firstly, welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
How good.
So good. Now, excited for a personal chat.
Yeah. The last chat that we did on the podcast was like business and babes. So,
and working mum life.
Yeah. So I think the title was Business and Babe. So if they're looking,
yeah.
Don't know the episode name, number, but we can put that into the show notes as well. So today's conversation, I kind of just wanted to like debrief. You've just come up from Adelaide to the Goldie and we have an event on this week, which is pretty exciting. And yesterday we were kind of like sitting there talking about everything that's kind of happened. And you were just like, what was going through your mind? Talk me through this. Talk me through that. Like, what are you actually doing? And I was like, what? And you're always that person, like, to give me the reason, the logic, a little bit of, like, the other perspective. And I'm just like, what? And because I live in, like, fairyland of, nah, this is my reasoning.
Go. I feel like I'm the logical one. And so if you're the emotional one.
Oh, yeah.
The fairy.
There's a lot of emotion.
And I feel like we're similar in business in that regard as well. I feel like Sophie's very visionary and very creative and she's always about like the new products and the ideas and all of that. And I'm like, okay, but let's commercialize this. Let's break it down. Does it make sense? Is it logical? Is this going to be a thing? So I feel like we're similar in a friendship capacity as well. Maybe that's why we've been so close for so many years.
100%. Now, the topic that I do want to debunk first, number one, is I finally, after let's say 6 years, got my dream car. Now, when I talk about this, like I've always in business downplayed money, right? So I guess topic number one is women with finances. We downplay money in so many areas that we kind of feel threatened by success or having wealth or talking about money. And I'm finding this more and more with so many women is that we actually downplay financial success, financial wealth, and so many different areas. And it's only been in recent years that I've kind of been like, well, no, I've worked really fucking hard to get where I am. I have put in so many years of app building, app development, program design, and so much stuff that happens behind the scenes that why should I downplay my successes? And so having this dream car on my vision board for 6 years, I put it out there to the universe, but didn't put it out there publicly that this is what I was working towards. So for the last 2 years, I actually ordered my G-Wagon 2 years ago, right? And we're sitting there like waiting for this to come about because of COVID and everything else that was happening. Here I am in the background, like paying it off. My dream's going to come true. All this work. But in the forefront, not showing any of that, because if we do, we're flashy, we're arrogant. Women can't earn money. So the moment that we get anything for ourselves, it's because of old mate next door or old mate new boyfriend or whoever else they can blame it on.
Anyway, I think it's like it's an entire issue as well. And I think it's not just centered around women. It's men and women. And I think it's that generational, like, you know, all the things our parents used to say to us, like, Liv, money doesn't grow on trees. You know,
I still say that to my kids.
Yeah. See, there you go. And that, I remember reading this book and it was You're a Badass at Making Money. We might have to double check that, but I feel like that was the name of the book
it's
title.
Probably, it's probably like nothing.
Jen Sincero. But honestly, that book was a game changer for me. I remember reading it and just having so many penny drop moments. See what I did there?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Money. Hashtag dad joke as a mum.
So many penny drop moments about all these things that I'd always thought about money and realizing that they were actually limiting beliefs that I had.
Yeah.
And I was then bringing through. And I actually had even said some of these things to my kids. And I was like, okay, wow, that's a real reality check for me to make sure that I'm not going to carry those themes through and affect the kids with that as well. But yeah, back to what we were talking about, I do feel like it's not just women, it's men as well. And we do need to celebrate our wins more and sort of be happy for everybody where they're at in their journey as well, because some people do place value on certain things and other people don't. And that's what makes us all unique and different. So it's just what is right for you and sort of taking the judgment out of things with other people and, you know, live and let live.
And celebrating other people with their success as well, because in Australia we have this tall poppy syndrome. And most of my followers are based in Australia. However, we do have some from the UK and America and things like that. And people that have visited Australia or stayed here for a certain amount of time have literally said numerous times that this is a real thing here.
It's because this is my personal opinion, just throwing it out there, but I feel like it's because we have a smaller population in Australia. So let's talk about our hometown as an example.
Yeah, Adelaide.
For our Adelaide listeners, love Adelaide. I'm still an Adelaide girl, but I do feel like Adelaide has shifted a lot over the years as well. So it's certainly progressed a lot more. But if you go back to when we grew up there, Soph, it was definitely a very conservative place. It still is a very conservative place. And so it's quite normal for people to shy away from being flashy. And we were sort of taught through society and the way that we live there not to sort of go overboard with the things that we were sharing, not put ourselves out there too much. Fashion, perfect example.
Perfect example.
Mum was always really stylish. So growing up as a kid, I was always looking forward to like growing up big enough that I could wear mum's clothes. But she always used to say to me that our fashion in Adelaide is very conservative, but if you go to Melbourne, you can wear whatever you want.
But it's the same as swimmers.
It's an hour flight.
Gold Coast, no one looks twice. You wear whatever you want. You go to Adelaide, same as activewear.
See, this even came up in Byron Bays as well.
Oh, my God. Oh,
sorry.
Even.
I got really hooked. George and I both got really hooked.
I can't.
I binge watched the whole series in like a week. It was a serious issue. But anyways, on the show, they were talking about the culture, like Byron Bay fashion versus Gold Coast fashion. Yep. We're slightly getting off topic, but it just goes to show that you could be an hour away from somewhere and there'd be a total different culture and, you know, set of values and things like that. But back to the small town thing, I do feel like when you have a smaller population, I lived in a town of 1,000 people once. Like when George and I first got together, I moved to a country town between Melbourne and Adelaide and there was 1,000 people there. So everybody knows your business. Everybody knows if you get a new car or you change jobs or you move 2 metres southwesterly direction in your kitchen, like everyone knows everything about you. So whenever you have smaller population, everything is hyper focused. And I feel like that's why if you compared Australia as on a whole in comparison to like the States or the UK, that's why it would be like that.
Yeah. And it is quite intense in regards to this. And I was not expecting the backlash. And I have definitely downplayed my successes over the years. Mm-hmm. To ensure that I was kept in a box or that I was considered acceptable socially according to our standards here in Australia, because I didn't want to stand out too much. And I know that that's definitely in regards to myself, a limiting belief or whatever, of not wanting to actually be at the forefront of anyone's
attention. But also our religion. I don't know.
100%.
Have you spoken about this on the podcast before?
No. Well, I have obviously said that I was raised Jehovah's Witness, but Liv and I were both raised Jehovah's Witnesses.
So that's actually how we met. So our parents were both in the church. We grew up very, very, like, deeply religious. Like, I'm talking 3 times a week.
4. Bible,
was it
Monday,
4?
Monday, Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, yeah, true. Okay, so 4 times a week and a very strict culture. So obviously there's, you know, all different types of Christianity and religion around the world. But this particular faith, we were sort of conditioned very young that we belong to a certain society almost. So we belong to a congregation or a community of people. And there were a very tight set of rules of the things that we, you know, were acceptable and were unacceptable according to the faith. So I think a lot of it comes down to that as well, because you're not flashy. And even down to the male-female roles as well, right? Like, we were always taught according to the Bible. And
respect,
I have to say, yeah, respect your husband. And I actually have to say there are a lot of good things that I learned from being part of that faith.
100%.
That I still really value and adopt in my life now. But there was definitely that deep-seated conditioning of female role versus male role. And, you know, you did everything you know, to support your family and to support your husband, but it was very strict, very black or white.
Yeah, 100%. That's a great, really, really, really valuable, great point to make. Now, in regards to, we're going to go on so many tangents.
I feel like we need to unpack the car. We're going to talk about the car. It's been a big thing on your social. We've obviously spoken about this a little bit offline as well. And I feel like a lot of people maybe that follow you or who are listeners, they want to unpack the car. So let's talk about the car.
All right. So number one, the car had been ordered for like 2 years, right? And so with G-Wagons and Mercedes. So what actually happened? So G-Wagons are between $350,000 and $450,000. At the moment, that's how much they cost. They are fucking expensive cars. This has been my goal. I am a car girl. I am through and through. My first car was a twin turbo Skyline. You know what I mean?
Oh, you badass.
Bad girl.
Did you go drifting?
Yeah, I did. And I think for me, I do value cars, right? And I actually spoke about this in regards to like the Maldives. Some people value, let's say they value, I don't know, watches. And that's where they place their emphasis. And they're more than happy to drop $100,000 on a watch. For me, I would much prefer to travel or to be able to have experiences and place my value on that. However, cars to me is my like possession vibe.
And
you know
what
I mean?
I definitely am a car person as well. So I definitely understand that. But I'm keen to understand, obviously you get a lot of DMs, right, in the space that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
What types of messages were you receiving specifically in regards to the car?
All right. So the types of messages that I was receiving was, wow, your dentist boyfriend must have bought you your car. Pays to be a dentist. Wow, money talks. Oh, it must be nice to have your boyfriend buy your car.
Okay, perfect. Let's unpack this. So why do you think – sorry, I'm going to roast you. So why do you think people thought that your boyfriend – and for those playing at home, I don't know if you're aware of this, but do you want to explain like
– hold on, there's two things that I actually think here though. Number one, I think because – personally, on a deeper level, in the last, say, 6 months, I have been more open to expressing the fact that women earning money is not only okay, but powerful and empowering. And I think that that's kind of the journey that Flourish and Fulfilled has gone on. So over the last 6 months of me being like, no, I earn my money because I am educated and I help women, and that is okay. Not only do I do that in a way of being able to teach other women that they can do the same thing. And so that has been a massive part of my journey within Flourish and Fulfilled. That's number one. Number two is obviously Andrew and I get together at roughly the same period of time. And here I am in our partnership. We live together. And he was like, I'm going to get custom plates on my new car.
Okay, so just quickly to explain this, just so it makes sense.
We both bought cars within 24 hours. Yeah, sorry.
Both bought cars within 24 hours. But the thing I think that was triggering people was the fact that the plates that Soph got on the car, that they must have seen in Instagram stories or something, I presume, were the acronym of Andrew, Sophie's partner's business name.
No.
No?
So ODG is like Oasis Dental Group, based on the fact that that's not even his business name. It's Oasis Dental Studios.
Okay, but close but enough, yeah, right? Yeah, like yeah, people yeah. obviously yeah. saw the plate and were like, okay, cool. So he's put his plate on it. So does that, you know, I can understand the automatic assumption that perhaps he bought the car.
And then in my mind, so I had the BOD custom number plates on the Range Rover.
Yeah, I remember.
And, yeah. And I just, everywhere I went, I had people coming up to my car. I was scared it was going to get keyed. I felt like everybody, and I lived in a very small coastal town, and everybody knew where I was, what I was doing.
Oh, and look, so upset Willys again.
Yeah, literally, like that's what it was like.
Yeah.
And so quite a few years ago, I replaced those number plates with, they're still premium plates, I think they're called, or whatever they are, they're black and white, and just went in and generated them. This is actually a pretty funny story. When they generated them, it was 666. And I was like, dude, I'm not the-
Ooh, yeah, your number.
Is that the devil? I was like, no way, man. And so then she regenerated it, and it was, I won't tell you exactly, but it was just- a number and variation combination of mm-hmm. what it was. And it was discreet enough for people not to know that it was me, but it was distinct enough for me to be able to be happy with that.
So did you expect that when you went with the plates being ODG this time, that people would have the reaction that they did and automatically make that assumption? Or were you just like, yeah, whatever the plates can be, that I don't really care? Like, where did that even come from?
Yeah. So in my mind, I was just like, I'm going to generate random numbers. And that is random numbers and letters, right? And I do want to make a massive point here. That is not my number plate right now, is it? So like the number plate we're actually talking about is not matching. That is a different number plate. And I love the fact now that when people see my car, it's actually going to be a different number plate. You know
Definitely.
What I mean?
That was 100% the right thing to do. I just feel like for the listeners and for people that follow you, I can understand that ODG, that was the assumption. And I like to think that people's thought process around that wasn't that they didn't think that you had the right to treat yourself to a new car, because I have known you for a very long time and you are one of the most hardworking people that I have ever met. And I still have no idea how you've done it all these years in terms of juggling all of the responsibilities that you have, not only with business stuff, but with the kids as well. Like, it's a lot. I struggle with three. And you have one more than me, so I know how challenging that can be. And then also add multiples into the mix of that as well. So it's just, it's crazy.
I also, like, with that as well, thank you. But also with that as well is, like, I remember coming to my accountant up here and I had a cracked screen. And you know this story, right? And I had $1 million, like, over $1 million cash in the bank, right? And she goes to me, Soph, you've got an entirely cracked screen. I can't see your figures. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, I've got a broken computer. And she was like, you can go and buy a new computer. Like, you can afford to go and buy a new computer. And I was like, no, I don't need it. It's fine. And she was like, no, you can afford to go and buy a new computer. And so I think that's really important that it's like, I'm not frivolous with my money. I am very careful and meticulous in regards to what I actually spend on. I'm not here going like fucking money bags, here I am. What I'm trying to educate here is the fact that if you want something and you set your mind to it, you can 100% achieve that. And not only should that be celebrated, but it should be supported by others, not only women, but men as well. And it doesn't take anything away from somebody else just because you've achieved your goals.
I heard something the other day. It was actually on a TikTok video and it was one of those motivational ones, but it was a snippet of this guy talking about the reason that most people fail. And it actually blew my mind. He basically said that most people are unsuccessful because they choose what they want now. Like, they give up mm-hmm. on sacrifices and stuff for what they want in the future
yep.
for what they want right now.
Yep.
And I think that is so true. When you think about even like a savings goal, for example, sometimes if you're saving towards a big goal, you might stop yourself from doing things in the moment, like going out to the movies with that girlfriend or buying that dress that you want to buy for the event on the weekend or whatever. You might constrict your lifestyle so that you could go to Europe or afford to go to Europe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're choosing to make sacrifices along the way so ultimately you can enjoy that reward at the end. And I think that you can apply that to most things, even things in business as well. Letting go of a goal that you have in business for something that you want right now and then getting 2 years down the track and being like, damn, I should have launched that thing or I should have done that trip or I should have hired that coach, whatever it may be. So that was really interesting and it's really stuck with me since I saw that.
Yeah, that's super powerful. And I think in regards to the plates, it's like we have a whole fleet of cars now. So we essentially have four cars and jet ski, you know what I mean? So in our minds, it was like ODG 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're like, how sick will that look? And in our heads, it was like, yeah, cool. Doesn't take anything away from me because it's essentially like random numbers and letters to everybody else except us.
I still feel like sometimes, though, you forget who you are. Like, not literally. Well, maybe someday.
What's my name again? What is that Eminem song?
I think sometimes you forget that people are watching your every move and are checking your stories and cross-checking things all the time. So you probably in your mind, you're like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just one uniform thing across all the cars. I don't really care. You know, but other people have really latched onto that and really made, you know, an assumption. And to be honest, like for everyone playing at home, I unpacked this with Sophie yesterday because even I was curious.
Yeah, she's like, what the hell? I was like, dude. I was like, so I actually have money issues and like I'm more than happy to go into this in regards to money issues that I don't let anybody pay for anything for me. And it has
except me.
It has become so severe that I get anxiety in regards to it that I will try and come up with ways of paying for something so that I don't have to have them pay. And it's actually something that I've worked with for the last 12 months to 18 months with people and coaches because it triggers me that bad that somebody would pay for me or that I would feel like I was having to be supported by somebody else or that there was a level of like me not being able to provide for myself.
Are you talking like dinners
and coffee, dinners, anything. I don't let anyone, it makes me really uncomfortable. And that's something that I'm still working through. So I've got this mad money issue as it is of not letting anyone pay for me. And then I go online and everyone's like, oh, your new boyfriend must have paid for that. I was like, the fuck he did? Like, are you kidding me?
You know what? I vote we change Soph's number plates. It's mine.
I should be like, I don't even know. Was it breadwinner?
Breadwinner.
Breadwinner. Like that. Anyway, so guys, for those playing along at home, I bought my own car. We're a partnership. I am stoked if he wants to use the car in any way, shape or form. We often swap between the Porsche and the G-Wagon. I still have the Rangey as well. So it's kind of like a fleet of cars that we all can use because that's what happens in a relationship.
I think my biggest takeaway from this conversation is as soon as I get home to Adelaide, I'm going to buy George custom plates for his car.
That say Liv's bitch.
No, that say OJC.
Oh my God.
I'm just going to brand him. I'm going to get him jumpers. I'm going to get him t-shirts, earrings, like the works.
It's like, I'm not branded. All right, guys.
Next minute, she's got a tattoo of the logo or something.
Yeah, ODG on my bum. Or like the little, I love the fact we're just giving him like free marketing right now. This is great.
He actually paid me for this earlier. He sent me a couple of $50.
It was so funny. We were on the way here and he's like, oh, what's your podcast about today, babe? And I was like, you. It is about you. And he's like, oh, okay.
I don't think he's coming home tonight.
he's got a patient really late. So guys, he did not pay for my car or anything else for that matter, which is incredible. Now, the next thing that I'd like to move on to here, which I also think brought up a lot of things, was in regards to us coming home from the Maldives and people's reactions to a father looking after his children and the amount of women that came back to me being like, a dad looking after his kids, is not babysitting. That is just as much of a parenting role as a mother. And it shocked me. It genuinely shocked me because of my relationship with Nath. Like, we are definitely equals when it comes to parenting. If anything, he is 100% the goat. Like, he is my maternal, you know what I mean? He is the go, 100% go-to. Like, he's the solid rock. He is the family unit. So in regards to people being like, who did you leave your kids with? I was like, their dad.
This is wild to me. Like, when you told me that this is a thing and these are messages that people were sending, this did shock me a little bit. I do feel like we are probably more similar in the sense that we take a more modern approach in the family. We have our own businesses. We definitely make a very strong contribution to the family and all the rest of it. We are working mums. We worked, you know, through when we had babies and things like that. George, my husband, has always taken a very active role with the kids as well. So for me, this sort of shocked me. I was sort of thinking, okay, if we separated or whatever, or, you know, even like me coming here a couple of days earlier to the Gold Coast, he had the kids. So I was sort of a bit confused as to why people thought that that was unnatural. But then again, we probably have come a considerable way. We've still got a lot of work to do in terms of the roles that women play now versus what they used to. because we never used to work.
No, and having these conversations and opening this up changes the narrative for our daughters as well. And even the conversation we just had in regards to money. I was mind blown that this is still the narrative that we're taught. That if a man hasn't bought us something, that how could we possibly achieve that? Or if we're on holiday without the kids, that it's not okay, or that they're not going to be safe with their dad, or they're not going to be somewhat looked after.
This is what I was telling you about in my appointment the other day. So my background is Greek. I have one of my best friends in the world is also Greek. I love her family dearly. And she does really well in her business. She went out and bought herself a brand new Mercedes-Benz, treated herself to the car. And the next time she saw her yaya, so her grandma, her grandma said, darling, that's great news. She's like, did Johnny buy you the car? So that was her immediate response. Now, given she's probably, in her 80s or 90s now. So in her day, women a lot of the time didn't even drive. Like, you look at my yaya, she still doesn't, she's passed away now, but she didn't have her license. So her husband died at 45 or 50, my papu. She never knew how to drive after that. So she spent the next four decades not driving, couldn't read or write. So...
And now we've just created this hyper-independence as women.
I know. And this is a whole separate story of taking it too far the other way and not allowing anybody to help you, because I can definitely relate to that as well.
Yeah, and that's where we have to have that masculine-feminine polarity of being able to dance between being able to step into that role but also know when to step back too.
Yeah, and this is hard. I actually find this really challenging to step back into my feminine because I am a very masculine, not outwardly, I like to think of. Feminine on the outside. but I definitely take a very dominant masculine approach, and I do find it very hard to step back into my feminine. So this is something that, I think if you are more that way, becomes a problem.
Yeah. And it's funny, tying all of this conversation in, you've just recently got married. Congratulations. And we had recently talked about the Australian culture with buck shows, and this came. Yeah.
The buck show.
And this came up. And then I was having the conversation with Tessa, and it wasn't even about buck shows. It was about Australian culture with men, about something entirely separate. And it's interesting how, I'm not sure if it's our conditioning from our religion. I'm not sure if it's our conditioning from the strong, empowered women that we do have in our circles. I'm not sure what it is. But there's this level of acceptance that we have in Australia in regards to what is okay and what's not okay, and the massive difference between males and females. And the conversation was actually had in the Flourish and Fulfilled closed community in relation to football trips.
Ah, yes.
So do you remember that thread?
I didn't see it, but
so if you are in the closed group, Google, or don't Google, just go into the search feature and then type in footy or men's or football trip or whatever it is. And the amount of differing opinions of what is acceptable is huge.
Oh, it's a thing. But even with the buck show thing, it's the same thing. So for those playing at home, I got married on the 5th of March, but end of January or whatever, George had his buck show. And we've been together 10 years and we are very compatible. We rarely argue. Sure, we argue about some things, but fundamentally we're pretty compatible. We've raised 3 kids together, got through, various turbulent times and all the rest of it. But what we did do was we failed to talk about boundaries prior to the buck show. So traditionally what happens in buck shows, my understanding anyway, is that the groomsmen or the friends of the groom will organise the buck show. A lot of the time, apparently, the groom doesn't know what's going to happen. So George and I had a very brief conversation prior to the buck show about the fact or the possibility that there could be strippers at the buck show. We didn't establish any boundaries about what was hard-nosed, what was acceptable, what wasn't. Long story short, when George came home, there were certain things that unfolded at a shack. So it wasn't even at a venue. It was at a shack where these things had unfolded, and I was very uncomfortable with what transpired. And then that caused a cyclone of arguments and
a literal struggle. She just smashed the camera.
Sorry, guys. A very turbulent time. If I'm really honest, it almost broke us. It caused a lot of drama and hurt and pain inside the relationship. And that was all based on the fact that we didn't establish boundaries. And I understand, as women, we accept different things. And that's based on so many things, your values, your upbringing, your conditioning, what's important to you, whatever. So I recognize that some people are fine with it and other people aren't. But I think the biggest thing is you have to know what your values are. You have to know what the other person's values are, and you have to put some boundaries. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah, it's massive, because what were you saying in relation to one of your friends saying that when you stand up for this and when you,
oh yeah. So by the end of it,
we missed a lot on the podcast, guys. I've got a lot to catch up on.
You know, when you get really upset about something and you're just not even in control of yourself anymore, like you just spiral into this emotional mess and things are just coming out of my mouth. And I was like, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I was just so upset. But at the end of it, I think I'd really educated the groomsmen around how buck shows can potentially make the bride feel, can make partners of other people that were there as well, because I spoke to some of the wives and partners of other people that were at this buck show as guests, some groomsmen's wives and partners and some guests' partners, and there were a lot of women that were very unhappy with what happened. So clearly it was not just me, but also there's a level of acceptance as well. Because like if you're the wife of someone who's just, you know, come to the buck show, potentially you're not going to get crazy and be like, oh my God, you know, this is BS, and like really kick up a fuss. So I did what was right for me in that moment. What was right for me was standing up for myself and my values and all the rest of it. And one of my bridesmaids said to me at the end, she's like, wow, you've really educated all of these groomsmen and potentially some of the men that were there as guests as well about how this actually could make a bride feel, what it could actually do to a relationship. Because let's remember, guys, why do they need a day before the wedding to celebrate being single, essentially?
Like when you've been together for 10 years.
Literally. We've got three kids, guys. I'm sorry to break it to you, but your freedom was, you know, lost a long time ago. I can't understand why they would want to spend this one night essentially putting everything on the line that they love and appreciate just to get fucked up, essentially, and, you know, drink booze and do whatever they were doing and have strippers and all the rest of it. I just can't understand why that is a thing. Like, that is no way to start a marriage. But again, it could be our religious background.
And again, when you say that it's about boundaries and communication, if we're talking about a traditional or typical or any of the open relationships or people that I know that are in open relationships, there are very clear boundaries and guidelines.
Well, there has to be.
Yeah.
Otherwise it wouldn't work.
No. And this is, I think, a massive thing when it comes to that is like, people that are in open relationships probably have a better relationship than what some people that are in. I'm smiling because I know why. She's going to go savage on me.
No, it's not that. It's the communication factor. What's the girl, Amanda Bucci, that I love from the States?
Yeah.
So Amanda Bucci is in sort of a similar type of situation with her now fiance or husband or something.
Ruffle type.
Well, yeah, but essentially they have to do a lot of work on themselves, like really break down like their deep-seated shadow selves, all these things.
All their kinks, everything gets put onto the table. If they want to sleep with someone, they have to ask first. Yep. It can't be someone they've slept with before. They can't have an emotional connection. There's a lot of rules and guidelines and boundaries in that.
But I also imagine as well there'd have to be some type of rule around saying that you're okay with it when you're not. Like, you know how sometimes a lot of women can do that, and I've been guilty of it as well.
And it's to satisfy the man, and it's always,
Well, because you're like, I don't want to be that person, or I don't want to make a big fuss or something, but inside you're dying. You're like really unhappy with this thing that you've agreed to that you didn't really want to agree to, but you didn't want to be crazy. You didn't want to be perceived a certain way. And I was even like that a little bit with the buck show. George said to me, he's like, why didn't you come to me and say, I'm going to be really unhappy if XYZ happens? And my response was, I didn't want to be the crazy bride. Well, guess what, guys? I was the crazy bride. I was literally like a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
All right.
Breathing fire.
I love that. And I love the fact as well, like when I was talking to, like it just stemmed the conversation because we were driving somewhere and it stemmed the conversation in regards to Australian culture, which then stemmed into like everything else that encompasses that in regards to a lot of males. And I am generalizing here, but I will say there are a lot of men out there, like, and I will use Nath as an example. He is morally so far the other way. You know what I mean? So there's people like that that's definitely not like that. Now, you're having the happiest day of your life, getting married, having a wedding, right? Best day, so great. And then you've got the polarity of everything else that's happening at the moment.
Well, just before the wedding, I think was the floods, right?
So just before the wedding was the floods. And it was like, I had people messaging me being like, I didn't even know whether to post online that we were celebrating a wedding because people were messaging me being like, you should have spent your flights on donations, even though they didn't know what my donations were or my contributions or how much I fucking lost in those floods. And it was then downplayed again because the moment that you show any sort of hurt or emotion, there's people that have it worse than you. Mm. And so it was really hard during that period of me being like, I've just lost my entire business that I have worked for 2 years to build up in overnight, 180 grand down the drain, gone. No insurance because it's flood damaged.
This blows my mind. I still cannot wrap my head around the fact that there are people that have lost their entire homes, every single possession that they own, and there's no insurance. I can't fathom it.
Horrible, horrific. And somebody very, very, very close to me is in that position. They've lost their entire business, all their possessions, home, everything. And at the moment, having a conversation with her just absolutely shatters me and breaks my heart because I cannot fathom that. And it's that polarity balance in regards to we've always had so much diversity. And without bad, you can't have good, right? We wouldn't even know the feeling of good if we hadn't had bad. Light, day, everything has that polarity. We've got third world countries with kids that are starving, and that's always been that way. And it's now put right in front of our minds and right in front of us every single day because these floods are literally on my doorstep. And it's really hard to be able to know what is the right thing or the wrong thing to do in this situation because on social media, you're going to get judged no matter what you do. And if I was to post every donation I made, people would be like, oh my God, you're only doing it to fucking post it on social media.
I think in regards to donations as well, like we've obviously had a really rough run in terms of we had the fires, remember? We had the bushfires.
Yep.
And then we had COVID and we've had the whole COVID saga for, you know, a really long time now. And then we've had the floods as well. So there's been so much pain and trauma and suffering and people losing not only lives, but, you know, their possessions, everything that they know and love. So there's just been one thing after another. But I do know you can also go off the deep end in terms of donations and stuff like that as well. Do you remember, like, with the bushfires?
Yeah. So I literally shut my business down for 3 months with the bushfires to dedicate my entire existence to donating and raising awareness and building back these communities for 3 months. And we raised millions.
It was a beautiful thing to do. And it was a very proud moment for me as a friend as well to sit back and see you working so hard to bring so much awareness and to raise the funds as well because you were literally flying around the country to pull off like
with my own money, like
events all sorts of stuff to raise money at boot camps and all sorts of things. So I think at the end of the day, it's horrible.
Yeah.
There's no words to describe the level of suffering that some people have had to endure in different parts of the country through floods, bushfires, and COVID. It's just horrible. At the end of the day, you can only do what is possible for you to do in terms of giving back and do your absolute best in terms of giving back where you can. Mm. However, I don't believe that you shouldn't be able to celebrate things like coming down and spending, you know, the night with me to celebrate our marriage and have one night where you're going to do something. And I can see how that would be really hard to receive messages of hate because you've ducked away for a night to go to a wedding.
Instead of help clean up with the floods. And essentially I just feel like with social media at the moment, it's such a hard platform to be able to share what's happening. And I know that I have definitely pulled back my life a lot online. And it wasn't until the other day that someone actually was like, I've obviously like scratched their head, obviously missed a lot because your house is now on Airbnb. Like, so I was like, oh yeah, shit. Sorry guys. I haven't even
told
you.
There's a lot of gaps in this story now.
Because I've stopped sharing because I just got to a point where I was just like, I can't do right anymore. And so I'm going to do me. If I was to do right by social media, I would be so unhappy myself. I would be in bed crying every day because what's right by social media is not right by me. And so this is the whole thing as well is like I'm human with emotions. I am not a robot. I'm definitely not somebody that lives in a box. I push the boundaries in regards to what I want to do and who I want to be and where I want to go. And so for me, it's very much like whenever I feel like I'm doing something in my life, I now am so nervous in regards to what I post because I get slammed if I do or don't.
It sounds a lot like an abusive relationship.
Instagram, you're toxic.
Literally, it sounds like an abusive relationship. Yeah. And you're being too scared to say something in case it's the wrong thing. And I think at the end of the day, you can only be yourself and you can only be true to yourself. And that is just what you have to live by,
100,
your own set of values.
100%. So on that note, guys, I feel like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. We dropped the mic on that. Thank you so much for joining me. If you want to continue any of the conversation, guys, you can head into the closed Facebook group or on Instagram, of course. And where can the listeners check you out?
So if you want to come and say hi, I'm at oliviajenkins.co. That's my website. And you can also find me on Instagram via the same handle. So oliviajenkins.co.
Love that. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks. Bye.